Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. Today's text is recorded in Luke chapter 11, verse 4. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. The first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer address our Father in heaven who comes to earth and makes his home here on earth. He hallows his name among us. He brings his kingdom to us. His good and gracious will is done for us. He gives us the world in which we live as a fatherly gift of pure love. Even after we brought his curse upon this world by our sin, he still blesses us by governing this world for the benefit of his holy Christian church on earth. And whenever we pray, give us this day our daily bread, he answers by giving us everything we need to support our physical lives here in this world. In the final three petitions of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray for what will bring us from this world to heaven. We pray that God will forgive us our sins, lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. This is how God will take us from this world that is filled with sin into heaven where no sin can enter. This world is not our eternal home. God will destroy it. But Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." When Thomas asked how to get to where Jesus was going, Jesus replied, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to the Father because Jesus alone is the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the only way to the Father because only Jesus has obeyed the law as the representative of the human race. He literally earned eternal life for everyone by doing what the law requires everyone to do. Jesus is the only way to the Father because only Jesus has suffered for the sin of the world. When Jesus then invites us to pray to our Father in heaven for the forgiveness of our sins, we can be sure that for Jesus' sake, God will forgive us our sins. Those who have received the forgiveness of their sins have received heaven. That's not to say we are in heaven. We're not. If we were, we wouldn't have to pray the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. The fact that Jesus teaches us to pray for forgiveness tells us that Jesus knows we will need forgiveness. He knows ahead of time that we will sin. He who bore all our sin knows the nature of sin. It constitutes a debt that the sinner owes to God. In St. Matthew's Gospel, the Lord's Prayer reads, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." In St. Luke's Gospel, the Lord's Prayer reads, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." A trespass or sin is a debt that is owed. Only he who paid the debt we owed to God fully understands the nature of that debt. Jesus experienced our sin when our sin was imputed to him in his suffering. When he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He cried out as the greatest sinner who ever lived. What does guilt feel like? He felt it. What does it feel to be shamed? He felt it. What is it like to be forsaken by God? Jesus knows. When Jesus urges us to pray, "Forgive us our sins," he urges us as one who understands what sin does to someone and why we need constantly to be asking for God's forgiveness. When the worship life of the infant church is described in Acts 2, verse 42, St. Luke tells us that those who were baptized on Pentecost continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. The breaking of bread is a reference to the Lord's Supper. In the early days of the church, before communion wafers had been invented, the manner of distributing Christ's body in the sacrament was by breaking off a piece of bread from the loaf. This is how the term breaking of bread came to be used to speak of the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. The prayers that were spoken in connection with the celebration of the Lord's Supper always included the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Supper has never been celebrated without also praying the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer sends us to the Lord's Supper. The forgiveness for which we pray in our need is given to us concretely when Christ's body and blood are put into our mouths. There can be no doubt that God forgives us all our sin when we receive the same body and blood by which our debt of sin was fully paid. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we should think of how Jesus gave up his body and blood for us on the cross, and how he graciously gives us to eat and to drink his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Without the forgiveness of sins, we would be poor, miserable, and lost. If God did not forgive us all our sins, we would have to pay for them ourselves. They would constitute a debt far too great for us to pay. We would never have any peace. Our souls would never be at rest. We would be filled with dread every time we seriously considered our relationship with God. Since that would become intolerable, we would invent whatever religious fiction was necessary to bring us peace. St. Augustine was right to say to God in his famous prayer, "Our souls are restless until they find their rest in thee." The reason that we find our rest and peace in Jesus and in his suffering for us is because it is only in Jesus' suffering that we find forgiveness of sins. If we don't find true forgiveness in Jesus' suffering, we will either rationalize away our sin or come up with our own way of getting rid of it. But only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can wash away our sins. What a powerful thing forgiveness is. When God forgives us, he gives us power. We don't have power over God because God is God. We remain under his authority, whether his legal authority to tell us what we must do or his evangelical authority to forgive us when we do wrong. But when God exercises the authority of his gospel upon you and tells you that you are forgiven of your sins, he gives you a power that you can find nowhere else. He gives you the power to forgive. And that is nothing to ignore. That is something to use. Jesus gave to the church the pastoral office, whose incumbents are to preach the gospel and administer the sacraments. Through these means of grace, God forgives sinners and gives to them the Holy Spirit who sanctifies them. Jesus also gave the Holy Spirit and the power to forgive sins to every single Christian. You don't have to be a called and ordained servant of the Word to tell someone who is suffering under a burden of guilt that he has a Savior in Jesus. Since Jesus died for everyone, we can tell anyone who wants to listen that his or her sins are forgiven by God's grace. Obviously, only those who repent of their sins will come to believe in the forgiveness of sins. No one trusts in what he doesn't think he needs. On the other hand, the forgiveness of sins is a solid and unmovable truth of God's holy word, a truth guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The very fact that Jesus, who bore everyone's sins, rose from the dead, proves that God forgives all sinners for Christ's sake. And so do we. We forgive specifically those who sin against us. Throughout the Lord's Prayer, we promise God only this one thing. We promise that we will forgive. We don't promise to forgive all people in general. We promise to forgive specifically those people who do us wrong. We don't promise to forgive those who deserve our forgiveness. We promise to forgive those who don't deserve anyone's forgiveness. We are not promising to forgive those whose love and affection and support are important to us. We are promising to forgive those whom we would rather have nothing to do with. Jesus teaches us to love our enemies. Love forgives. That's what it does. And it doesn't ask whether or not the sinner is sufficiently sorry for the wrong he's done. Love forgives. It doesn't even ask if the sinner wants to be forgiven. God didn't ask if this world wanted a Savior. Had he waited for the world to ask, the Savior would never have been born, and we would all be lost in our sin. Divine love takes the initiative and forgives even before the sin is confessed. When the Holy Spirit, through the means of grace, gives to us the forgiveness of our sins, he also pours God's love into our hearts. Not only does a Christian have the power to forgive those who do him wrong, he has the desire to forgive. He wants to do for others what God did for him. He wants to give to others what God gave to him. Pastor, there is someone I cannot forgive. I try, but I just can't do it. I wonder if I should go to the Lord's Supper. Shouldn't I be reconciled with this person before I receive Christ's body and blood? Well, that's a good question. It's a hard question, too. The Word of God warns us about eating and drinking the body and blood of the Lord unworthily. People have suffered God's judgment for not discerning the body of Christ. The Lord's Supper is not for those who harbor hatred in their hearts and refuse to forgive. It is for the penitent who admit their unworthiness and sin. And sometimes these penitent sinners are so burdened by their sin that it appears to have taken control of them. They feel as if they are possessed by hatred instead of the love of God. They experience everything but the peace that comes from Christ. They are filled with the very opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, but they want this fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They want the Holy Spirit and His power. They want to be rid of the hatred within. What should they do? They should not stay away from the Lord's Supper. They should rather confess their sin for what it is. Confess their hatred and unforgiving bitterness for what it is. And then they should take to heart the words of Jesus given and shed for you for the remission of sins. The same Jesus who gives us his body and blood to eat and to drink is the Jesus who empowers us to love even the most unlovable. The same Holy Spirit who gives us the forgiveness of our sins enables us to forgive those who sin against us. When we confess our sins to God, we include in that confession of sin our sinful refusal to forgive those who have sinned against us. We confess the bitterness within our hearts. We confess it all. And God forgives it all, because Jesus took it all away by his holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death. Only from being forgiven by God for Christ's sake can we learn to forgive. And so we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We thank you for being with us this morning on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by members of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. We'd like to invite you to attend the services of our congregations, 8 o'clock every Sunday morning at First Evanger in Fertile, 9:30 at Grace in Crookston, and 11:30 at First American in Mayville. And you can check out sermons and other writings on the website christforus.org, christforus.org. Send an email. Let us know what you think of the broadcast, and we'd love to have you come and visit us at one of the congregations sponsoring this broadcast. Please tune in next Sunday morning, the same time, the same station, for the next broadcast of Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast.